Lucy thanked her stars that she had worked hard at her swimming last summer term. It is true that she would have got on much better if she had used a slower stroke, and also that the water felt a great deal colder than it had looked while it was only a picture. Still, she kept her head and kicked her shoes off, as everyone ought to do who falls into deep water in their clothes. She even kept her mouth shut and her eyes open. They were still quite near the ship. She saw its green side towering high above them, and people looking at her from the deck. Then, as one might have expected, Eustace clutched at her in a panic, and down they both went. When they came up again, she saw a white figure diving off the ship's side. Edmund was close behind her now, treading water, and had caught the arms of the howling Eustace. Then someone else, whose face was vaguely familiar, slipped an arm under her from the other side. There was a lot of shouting going on from the ship, heads crowding together above the bulwarks, ropes being thrown. Edmund and the stranger were fastening ropes round her. After that followed what seemed a very long delay, during which her face got blue and her teeth began chattering. In reality, the delay was not very long. They were waiting till the moment when she could be got on board the ship without being dashed against its side. Even with all their best endeavor, she had a bruised knee when she finally stood, dripping and shivering on the deck. After her, Edmund was heaved up, and then the miserable Eustace. Last of all came the stranger, a golden-headed boy some years older than herself.
Caspian,
gasped Lucy as soon as she had breath enough. For Caspian it was. Caspian, the boy king of Narnia, whom they had helped to set on the throne during their last visit. Immediately Edmund recognized him too. All three shook hands and clapped one another on the back with great delight. "But who is your friend?" said Caspian almost at once, turning to Eustace with his cheerful smile. But Eustace was crying much harder than any boy of his age has a right to cry when nothing worse than a wetting has happened to him, and would only yell out,
"Let me go! Let me go back! I don't like it!"
"Let you go?" said Caspian. "But where?" Eustace rushed to the ship's side, as if he expected to see the picture frame hanging above the sea and perhaps a glimpse of Lucy's bedroom. What he saw was blue waves flecked with foam and paler blue sky, both spreading without a break to the horizon. Perhaps we can hardly blame him if his heart sank. He was promptly sick.
"Hey, Renelf," said Caspian to one of the sailors. "Bring spiced wine for their majesties. You'll need something to warm you up after that dip."
He called Edmund and Lucy their majesties because they and Peter and Susan had all been kings and queens of Narnia long before his time. Narnian time flows differently from ours. If you spent 100 years in Narnia, you would still come back to our world at the very same hour of the very same day on which you left. And then, if you went back to Narnia after spending a week here, you might find that 1,000 Narnian years had passed. Or only a day. Or no time at all. You never know till you get there. Consequently, when the Pevensey children had returned to Narnia last time for their second visit, it was, for the Narnians, as if King Arthur came back to Britain, as some people say he will. And I say the sooner the better.